gate on the cart. That process in itself would probably take longer than the repairs to the gate.
Wow.
So you're gonna be working on the gate down in the shaft.
Okay. I just wonder if there was options there.
There are, but they're not good ones.
You want to talk about that? Talk about what? The tree that fell this year?
Oh yeah. We had a tree fall this winter. Clay went in there on the snow survey, and that tree actually slid from the top side down, and the top of the tree is about a foot from our cabin up there. It stopped a foot away from taking that cabin out.
Ed, I think that little white tree that you see right above the peak of the gatehouse itself, I think that is the tree that dropped down. If Robert could put the cursor on that guy right there. Yeah, that's the one right there.
No, because it's kind of parallel with it though, Clay. That would fall this way.
Anyway, we got lucky. We got real lucky.
Yeah, for sure we did.
And that picture doesn't do that justice. It doesn't look very steep behind there, but I guarantee you to go from the backside of that gate up to where Robert was just pointing that tree would take you a good 45 minute climb through brush.
Because this is all cliff right here. These are cliffs. They look like they're just kind of hills, but those are straight up and down cliffs.
That's all.
Go ahead, Ed.
I say that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Are there other questions for Ed? If not, the next meeting, I think, is scheduled for Wrangell.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Sure, Bob, go ahead.
So I missed some of the conversation with Trey. Did you guys talk about bonding and funding?
We did not get to that point yet at all.
Well, before we end this meeting, I'd like to have a little conversation about finances and how we may move forward with some of this stuff.
Okay.
There were some options in there with the funds that we have as it relates to the finances of the SEPA. So one of the things that I'm concerned about is we could utilize those funds, but then we'd have to go through a period of time of rebuilding them. And given uncertainty of forecasts, that kind of stuff. And if we had another dramatic failure, we would be in trouble. We understand that we're going to have to pay for a portion of this up front ourselves, and then hopefully we get reimbursed through some insurance and that kind of stuff. But I think that bonding and paying debt service is probably a reasonable way to approach this project. Unlike a lot of our communities, we can't afford a huge project on its own and pay cash for it. So we figure out what the debt service is and whether or not we can go out for a bond and pay it off over a term. And if we're going to do that, I'd also like to think about rolling in the building construction at the same time. As you look through the financials, we paved about $15,000 in rent already this year, and we're going to probably pay another $15,000 before we're done for the properties that we rent in the community. So I'm just thinking that on a larger scale, that going out, borrowing the money, and considering the debt service and move that way is a more prudent way for us to handle the finances of the submarine cable.
Yep. If I might, Bob, I think we need to look at two or three options on that.
We're getting a lot of garbled scramble for some reason.
In there. You have two units on at the same time, maybe.
No, we haven't changed, Bob, here at all.
All right.
That I know of.
This is Lisa. I'm gonna head out. Sorry to interrupt. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate all the
Thank you, Lisa.
Yep.
Thank you.
My thought process is much along your lines, but I was thinking what we needed to do is look at a couple combinations that uses maybe a little bit of our reserves with bonding to go with it, like you were talking about, and wrap in the, I wasn't thinking about the housing unit, but that's not a bad idea, or the construction there in Ketchikan, but that's not a bad idea. But anyway, I'll look at a couple options that preserves our, you know, our option, keeps our money in the bank, so to speak, for in case we have something else go on, but also gets us the best rates and uses the best combination thereof of what we need to do. And I was thinking that we could have staff look at a couple options along those lines.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to look at $4 million in a submarine cable project, and if not a little more, depending on how things go. And then we're going to probably look at another, you know, $1.5 million or whatever it's going to be for the building. $2 million, whatever. I don't know what the price of the building has panned out to, but I think that it would be pertinent for us to do that. Otherwise, we're going to wait around for longer and pay rent and not proceed with some of these projects. I think we need to get out of the way. So I guess I'd like to defer back to Trey a little bit and hear what his comments are.
Yeah. If I can add one other part to you, is that I think we're going to have some short-term and some longer-term. You know, Trey pointed out to us earlier that we'll probably have upfront costs, which some maybe cover later with when we get insurance reimbursement, maybe not. But at any rate, I think we have short-term, long-term, and some other options to look at there, too, as part of it. Thank you.
Hey, Chair, this is Jeremy, and I had a question to bring up.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Obviously, funding is a big concern for us right now, and also the environment that we're in with COVID-19 creates a lot of strain for having this discussion. And I know that earlier in the, or at the beginning of the year, we had a discussion about SEPA rates, and those were brought up, or those were brought before the board, and then were being deferred. I haven't heard anything since that time about any kind of projections about where we want to go with that, when we'd want to look at what rates are going to do. Is it possible to get an update on what our thoughts are about projected rate increases and when they might actually come into effect?
Well, Mr. Chair,
that's a good thought. Trey, are you on there to discuss some of this with us?
I certainly am. I guess where I would start with Jeremy's question first. That for a little while, because we're not sure where we're going to come out with on the submarine cable, and also we are looking to kind of see where how quickly we recovered on our revenues and if our reservoirs restored quickly, which it's a good sign that those did. But I think looking now, kind of dovetailing back into some of the chair's comments and Bob Severson's as well, there's some, I'll say some more near-term expenditures that will cover with the existing reserves, and certainly some hump resources that we'll need to cover on the sub cable, at least for a period of time. Best case scenario, insurance has got to cover maybe 40% or something of the actual cable replacement project. So, one thing that we're also doing is next year we're due to update our R&R long-term projection, which we do every 5 years. So I think all those things coupled together, we'll have a better idea of what our rates adjustment might require. And I'm gonna recommend to the board, once we have some of these other numbers firmed up a little bit, that perhaps we look at doing a rate study and let's bring in a third party to take a hard look at that and provide some a different perspective perhaps and put some other numbers behind it. But I think we got to get that core information first.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Steve.
Okay. I want to go all the way back to the very beginning about bonding here really quick, back with Bob's idea. I am not opposed to the bonding concept at all. I think it's good.
Yeah, we're getting a little feedback here.
Try again.
Okay, I'll try again. I'm not opposed to that concept. I think it is a good time for us to look at that with the potential of being able to utilize money at a decreased rate. I think it would be wise of us. I also am sort of viewing it that we know we have the other cable crossings that we have to look at, and this may, you know, give us a leg up. I don't know if we remove some of the risk, if that changes how much we need to carry in the self-insured category, and if we can transfer some out of there. So, and I don't know how you allocate out your self-insured risk pool there, Trey, but does it give us the capacity to shuffle some money over to a cable replacement fund? I don't know. But just now jumping forward to the new topic of increasing rates this year. It's a tough one. And since I've come on board to this board, I have been asking for small incremental rate increases since the beginning, and we've just never done it. And I'm really hoping that whatever we do is very small. And it's not that I'm opposed to rate increases, but just because I know how tough it's going to be for community members here this year to absorb increases in anything. And I think we're all aware of that, but I just want to
You're cutting out again, Steve.
So, Steve, I think we got most of that. You got garbled really bad right at the very end of that. But I think the essence of where you were going with that was that any discussions on rate increases, you know, we need to be cognizant of the difficulties all the communities are having right now. And if we do any, it should be moderate. Awesome. If I may, Mr. Chair, I just want to comment on or respond a little bit to a question that Steve had, nibbled around the edges a little bit on, and that was the balance of the self-insured risk fund. That's in the past, that's been based on two factors. One of those factors being our insurance deductibles, and then the other factor, primary factor, would be the replacement of one cable crossing. I think what we're learning from this recent failure is the cost of a submarine cable failure has actually gone up. If some people may recall that our self-insured risk fund used to be $10 million, and we reduced that by $2 million earlier. And I think what's actually going to come out of this is a recommendation to the board that we're going to have to increase the self-insured risk fund to match what it would cost potentially for some. So we may actually end up going kind of the opposite way that you were thinking, Steve. That's just the reality with the extra cost.
Can I make a point of clarification, Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Jeremy.
I just wanted to clarify my questions. The intent of my question was for the purpose of long-term planning, and that if there is going to be any sort of a rate increase in the discussion in the future, that we have an opportunity to see that well in advance of it actually going into effect.
Mr. Chair, this is Tor in Petersburg.
Yes, go ahead, Tor.
Yeah, and I just had one observation. I think we've had a steady rate for 23 years now, 6.8 cents per kilowatt in 1997, I think. And just adjusted for inflation, that should be 11.2 cents. So just flatlining basically for the last 23 years. And I think that just shows how well managed SEPA has been, you know, how we continue to improve the infrastructure and just efficiency, you know, putting STI in now, you know, playing with the generators to maximize efficiency. And so I think, you know, we've done what we can, you know, using what we had. And I think just looking at, yeah, the numbers, replacement, R&R, like, yeah, trying to buffer our reserves, it's inevitable. And so I think, you know, the sooner the better we start inching that way, even just a small increase, I think I'd be in favor of that.
Trey, what's your thinking in terms of, you talked about possibly doing a rate study. We talked about looking at some options to bond these particular projects we're working in, and Bob had a couple other suggestions here. What might be your thinking on some kind of time frames that to put all that together, to put it into some kind of practice?
That's a great question. So immediate needs, as I mentioned earlier, I did reach out to the debt manager for the state and have already alerted him that we're interested in a potential bond opportunity. He was just wrapping up one right now, and we won't make it in that one, but he said he would have another one on the horizon within the next 6 to 12 months. And, you know, if you look at the timing for the cable replacement, that's probably a reasonable time frame for us. And if we were to remove the existing cable, say this year, and get a some type of indication from our insurance company what their reimbursement would be, that'll give us a little bit better sense. And then also looking forward on some of the review of the larger CapEx items that we'll be updating in the 4R plan next year, that will certainly give us some better background. And I'll just remind the group as well that, you know, we did ratchet back on a couple of projects that we had planned to do just because there was some uncertainty on the horizon, and we wanted to preserve some of our funds. An example would be that, you know, we know we have a number of failed helicopter pads out there that were original wood timber frames that are dilapidated now. And we put that on hold for a year or two.